things. This morning we just laid a foundation work before we come tonight, and then Miss Denise and the ladies, they sung, "I am a survivor tonight. I've been born again." And I just want to go over a word of God tonight about personal repentance. Personal repentance. We looked a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night about the truth about repentance and what repentance does. And then tonight I want to come back and I want to follow up with personal repentance. What the book says about that being personal repentance in your life and personal repentance that was in my life. Amen? So that's what we're going to look at tonight, personal repentance. I will not be long-winded tonight, I pray, and I'll be able to get you out and get you out and get you ready for your work week in the way that it is. But if God has different. But if God has different. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 10, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. And let's ask God to move in a mighty way. The Bible says in verse number 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yes, what clearing of yourselves. Yes, what indignation. Yes, what fear. Yes, what vehement desire. Yes, what zeal. Yes, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clean in this matter." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we just say we thank you for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house tonight and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, tonight I lift up the ones that that have COVID tonight, Father, all around. I lift them up to you tonight. David's little boy there, I lift him up to you tonight. Father, I pray you'd reach down from heaven and just protect that family. Lord God, I pray tonight for each and every one that's all over this rooms tonight that knows people that's affected with COVID. Father, the ones that's been just having hard times, I lift them up to you. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother Mike up at Fulton Bridge. Lord God, I lift him up to you. And I lift up that congregation as they're going through a tough time right now. They're under shepherd. Father God, we know that he's going through a tough time. And I just lift that church up to you as a whole. And Lord God, I lift up Union Chapel Baptist Church here to you. Lord God, I pray you bless us in a mighty way. Continue to watch over us. Continue to show your love, your mercy, and your grace in our lives. Lord, I just thank you so much for the cross of Calvary. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that you would guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Everything that I'd say tonight would be honored and pleasing and glorifying to you. I'd pray tonight, oh, Satan, have to flee. And Father God, the Holy Ghost would show up in this place. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning that, Father God, that you've done a work in this place. Continue to do that work every time we walked in. We ask it in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Personal repentance. Personal repentance is what we're going to look at tonight. To be personal repentance, that'll be between you and God. It won't be between you and the next man or you and the next individual that you come into contact with. That repentance will be between you and God Almighty, you and God alone. Tonight as we read this text, we see that the writer gives a clear and concise picture of what repentance is and what it produces in our lives. Personally, when we live a life in a spirit of repentance tonight. Number one tonight, as we look at this text, I want to look at this. Number one, we see the source of repentance tonight. The Bible says here in verse number 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." So we see tonight the source of repentance is godly sorrow. That godly sorrow that you have in your life and the godly sorrow that I have in my life, it worketh repentance in our life. And as we think about that tonight and we look here, the Bible says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." We notice in the Bible there'll be two individuals that this text would be marching back toward, and it would be back into the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Every time that you reference back to repentance, you can find repentance in the Old Testament and you can find repentance in the New Testament. You can find repentance in old churches. You can find repentance in new churches. But as we look back tonight, I would like for you to turn with me to two places in the Bible. The first place tonight would be 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 1 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And we want to look tonight at where we see repentance at tonight and a man in the Old Testament tonight. And that man would be David. It'd be King David. He'd done come to this place in his life. And you know the story. The Bible says that when the men went out to war, their chief leader, their chief man, if you would, David, it said that he tarried behind. The men went off to war, and King David, he tarried behind. And when he did, you know what happened, and you know the story. When he tarried behind, he walked out on his roof, and he looked down, and there was Bathsheba, and she was down there, and he looked upon her, and he liked what he saw, and he just didn't stop right there, but he called her out and said, "Go get her and bring her this way." And then you know Uriah, being her husband, he was out at war, and he was out fighting, and David had done slept with Bathsheba, and had done come to this place, and you know what happened. She conceives a child, and she comes and she tells King David, said, "Hey, I'm going to have a child, and it's yours." And he said, "Call Uriah in. Call him out from battle. Bring him up in here, and we're going to wine and dine him, let him be with his wife, and it's going to cover up that sin that is in his life." Well, you know what happened? They called Uriah home, and Uriah come to the king's palace there, and he said, "Come on in." And he said, "Oh no, king, I won't come in and lay down with my men out in war. I'll lay right here, and I won't come in. I will not come into that place." And oh, David said, "I'm going to be called up with. My sins are going to find me out. I know in the book that it says that whatever you do is going to be found out. What you do in secret will come out in light." And oh, David knew that, and he said, "I tell you what you do. You put him back out in the war, and when you put him out there, I'm going to put him on front line, and I'm going to have him killed." And that's what David did. He said, "I'm going to cover the sin up that's in my life. Nobody will ever know." Hey, friends, you know what? Tonight, I can give you this on the authority of God's word. You may have everybody else food, but there's one that knows everything that you do, and his name is God Almighty tonight. And when he came here in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, we see in reading in verse number 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." You know what had happened here? He done covered everything up, and he said, "I'm going to send old Nathan. I'm going to send that man, and he's going to tell him some things." And that's that source of godly repentance. The Lord sent Nathan, 2 Samuel chapter number 12, in verse number 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city. One was rich and one was poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb." One little lamb's all he had, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and they lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And the Bible says in verse number 5, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, that man that had done this thing shall surely die." He said, "As the Lord liveth," David said, "that man's going to die." He said, "You tell me where that man is that's done wrong. You show me where that man is that took that little ewe lamb and took everything that man had." He said, "You show me who that is." David didn't even know what was going on in his own life. Hey, but he was ready to judge somebody in their life. He didn't even know what was going on in his own heart, but he was ready to judge somebody else's heart. And we see tonight, if you'll look with me as we look on through here in verse number 7, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man." He said, "You're the man. You're the one that got the sin in your life." He said, "Thou art the man, David. And thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Hey, he said, "I took care of you this whole time, and now you've come to this place where godly repentance leads in." And friends, you know what David did? David repented. David got to that place in his life where he asked forgiveness, and he turned from the way he was going, and he turned to God. Friends, this afternoon, godly sorrow, repentance, it'll turn a man around. It'll turn a woman around. Hey, you can be going one way thinking everything's going fine, and you can let God stir that heart. And it won't be long. You know what will happen? You'll turn and you'll start going the other way. He says in the word tonight, though, that when he told that story, David said, "Who is that man?" And Nathan said, "You are the man." Hey, but it ain't only in the New Testament where we see that David had come to a place in his life where he had godly repentance. Hey, but we see Peter. Peter came to that place. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 75. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 75 tonight. We know that David came to that place and he had godly repentance. He had godly sorrow that led him to repentance. But it also came here that Peter, you know what Peter did? Peter said, "Lord, I'll never deny you." Lord, I'll never turn my back on you. I'm the man that you can count on. Look what he said here in Matthew 26, 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Look what old Peter did here in verse 75. And it said he went out and he wept bitterly. He went out from the presence of there and he started weeping bitterly. He knew that he had sinned against God and he knew he needed repentance in his life. Friends, tonight when an individual gets under true Holy Ghost repentance and he repents for the things, or she does, of the things that are in her life, you know what? You know what finally catches up with them? It's not man that catches up with them. It's not things that catches up with them. It's the Holy Ghost of heaven that finally catches up with them. Amen? Hey, you can run that way as far as you want to. There'll come a day that Holy Ghost, it'll stand right there in a man's life. It'll stand right there in a woman's life, and you'll have to do something about it. You'll either have to get on your knees and repent and ask God to forgive you, or you'll just have to go on around him. And friends, tonight I want you to know on the authority of God's word that godly sorrow leadeth me and it leadeth you to repentance tonight. Ain't you glad of that tonight, that it leads you to repentance? But I want to give you something here tonight that we see in the text. Number one, if we see the source of repentance is godly sorrow. But if I know that there can be a source of godly repentance, there can be a substance for it. There can be something that you can substitute for true repentance. If I realize tonight that there's a main source, and that's godly repentance, godly sorrow that leads me to repentance, I realize tonight that they can be a substitute for the real deal. Amen? Or a knockoff, if you will. A knockoff. Y'all know what a knockoff is? It's when you can't afford the real deal, so you get the knockoff. You really want that kind of purse, but the knockoff is $200 cheaper, so I'll go with the knockoff. I really want them sunglasses, but hey, they're going to cost me $250, and I can go with the knockoffs for $19.99. And you know what people will tell you? It's the same. Ain't nothing. You can't tell a bit of difference. You can't if you ain't never put the real deal on. Boy, that'll preach. You can't tell a bit of difference if you ain't never put the real deal on. But when you put the real deal on, there's a difference. When you put on the real deal, there's a difference, and you know it, and I know it. And he says here, look in the text, he says in verse number 10, for godly sorrow it leadeth to repentance unto salvation. But look what he says, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. He said there's one repentance that's a source of repentance, that's godly sorrow. When you're godly, when you're truly sorrow before God Almighty, and then there's a truly when you're sorrow just before the world that you live in. Oh, and that happens in the life that we live. Look at the substance of the substitute of repentance, and that is the sorrow of the world. Have you ever seen anybody? I've been here myself. Man, I really wasn't sorry for what I done. I was just sorry I got caught. I really wasn't sorry for what I done. I was just sorry I got caught. Friends, tonight I want you to know that's not true repentance when you're just sorry that you got caught. True repentance is you've not been caught by man, but you've been caught by the man. Amen? And he says tonight the substitute of repentance. Let me give you this. I want to give you four things that will substitute true repentance. Number one, regret will substitute true repentance. Regret. Regret is this. Regret that you got caught. You regret you just got caught. You didn't regret doing the sin that you've done or the shape that you were in. You just regretted that you got caught. You just regretted that you got caught. Folks, tonight I want you to know when you truly get to that place in your life, the regret will go away. That regret won't be there when you truly repent. Look here though. Not only the regret that they got caught, the substitute of repentance, number two is remorse. It'll be a deep source of guilt. They'll have a deep source of guilt, but not truly do nothing about it. They'll have regret that they got caught. They'll even be remorseful. They'll even have tears flowing down their face. They'll even say, I won't do that again. And in 2 weeks, they're right back doing what they was doing at the beginning. So how do you know this, preacher? I see it, and you do too. Men in this room and women in this room that's in marriage right now, I want you to know, if you got a spouse that is struggling with something in their life, you know when they get to that place and they've been caught up with and they have regret and they may even have a little remorse, but there is no change. There is no change. Have you ever seen a child? Man, they'll get to that place and they was going fine. Everything was going good until they got caught up with. And then, man, they got regret and they got a little remorse and they cried as long as mom and daddy was around. But then when they got alone by themselves, they was right back to doing the same old thing. You know, I know this to be true because when I was 18, 19-year-old, 17-year-old, as long as she didn't find out, man, I was okay. As long as mama didn't know, I was okay. And you know what I would do? I thought I had the wool poured over her eyes. And I hate to even say this, but I thought mama was a dummy. I thought mama was ignorant. I thought mama didn't know what living was about. Until mama come to me. And mama told me, I know what you're doing. And if you don't change your ways, you're going to spend the rest of your life in a devil's hell. And I'd tell mama, mama, I'm going to change. Mama, I'm going to change. You see, let me give you a little bit more. Let me go a little deeper in my testimony. And just let me tell you, well, you can lie about it all day long, and there's not true godly sorrow, Brother Kevin. It's just worldly sorrow that you got caught. I'll never forget when mama loaded me up in the car and we rode down the road and mama told me, son, if you don't keep living this way, you're going to go to jail. And I tell mama that four-letter word and you all know what it is. I said, mama, you know what happens? We all adults in here, you know what I'm talking about. 10-foot tall and bulletproof. But I want you to know, when I found myself locked up, I was standing there crying like a baby, snot pouring from my nose. I was just sorrow. And you know who I wanted to call? I wanted to call mama. I wanted to call mama. Why? Because I had regret and I had remorse, but I did not have no repentance. How do you know that, preacher? I got out. When they finally bonded me out, I went back doing the same old thing that I was doing before. I'm just going to be better secretive about it this time. But I read in the Word of God where the book tells me that be sure that your sins will find you out. Folks, tonight I'm telling you, you can get to that place in your life and you can have godly sorrow where you regret so much, you have so much remorse, you even have reformation. You say, what's that, preacher? That's removing faults or defeats that's in your life. I'm going to lay it down. I'm not going to do that no more. And then you'll catch yourself picking it back up one more time. That's when it's just been, you're just trying to reform what's on the inside. And you can't. Until you've been regenerated, born again, it won't work. You'll keep having remorse. You'll keep having regrets. You'll keep having reformation. That's the third thing. But it'll keep rising up in that life because the head of it has not been cut off. And that seed that's been growing has not been plucked out. You're still letting that old seed grow. You know, you can lay down all you want to. Won't do you a bit of good until God Almighty takes it from you. Until God Almighty takes it from you. Let me give you one more thing, though. Not only a substitute of repentance is regret, is remorse, is reformation, but I have come to find out another substitute for true repentance is religion. It's just religion. It's just pure divine old stinking religion. That's detour time. When I come in living one, I come in and everybody thinks I'm living this way. And when I leave here, you wouldn't even know I was a child of God. I come in this way and man, I'm all cleaned up and all suited up for war. But when I leave this place, that's not truly who I am. But I want you to know this tonight on the authority of God's Word. And this may make some uncomfortable tonight. Uncomfortable is good, amen? Uncomfortable is good. If you're dealing with a snake, you better be uncomfortable. Amen, Brother David? And the devil's a snake, liar, cunning, looking to whom he can kill and destroy. But godly sorrow leadeth to repentance, true repentance. The substitute of repentance is regret, remorse, reformation, and religion. That's to obey or be a part of something and not a relationship. To obey or be a part of something but having no relationship. You know, I've always said this, and I'm going to go to my next point in just a minute. That source of repentance, I'll never forget that day it come in my life. And you won't neither. That day that I truly repented and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I'm not going to heaven because I'm not going to go to heaven. Now get this. I'm not going to go to heaven by what I've done, but by what he's done on the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to go on what I've done. But I'm going to clear some things up tonight. Just make it as clear as can be. When I truly repented and asked Jesus Christ to save me from a devil's hell, and I believe that Jesus died on that cross for my sins, and I confessed it. He came into my life that night, and he saved me. No longer did I beg Mama for forgiveness. No longer did Mama have to pay my bills. No longer did me and my wife have to meet my Mama at the bank in Detroit, and her cash her check. She worked for we don't live that way, Brother BJ. Some do. Some is so strung out, we do. We're going to get real before we go home, and then we're just going home. And then her leave that bank and go up on the top of the hill at Woodpecker's and work to make her ends meet so she'd take care of my ends. You see, when I was living in sin and I was living just as filthy as I could live, it wasn't only affecting me. It affected my wife. It affected my mother. And it affected everybody that I come in contact with. And selfishness said it don't matter. But let me give you this. When I come to that place, Brother Eric Carruth, that I truly repented, asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and he come into my heart and saved me, there no longer was a substitute. There no longer was a false. He became my substitute on the cross of Calvary. I realized he was what I needed. He was my pardon. He was my way out. And because there come a time in my life, I realize that I truly repented and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give you the third thing, and here it is. We see the source of repentance. We see the substitute of repentance. No longer I had to go and beg somebody to forgive me. I finally realized that in my life, I had signs of repentance. They were signs popping up everywhere. Man, they just jumping up everywhere. Jumping up everywhere. You say, preacher, what are them? I'm glad you asked. Look with me right now in verse number 11, if you don't mind. Here's the signs of repentance in an individual's life. For behold, that means I want you to look at this. This self-same thing, which is that you sorrowed after godly sort. That self-same thing is repentance. Here's what it done in your life when you truly was born again. Here's what it done. He says that you sorrowed after godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. I want to give you seven things in this text. And just listen to this. It says a sign of repentance that's in you tonight is one is carefulness. When I repented and gave my life to Christ and he saved me, I started being careful. That's what the Bible says, carefulness. The company that I kept changed. The places that I would go changed. And the words that I said changed. No longer a potty mouth. I told this story at Broken Lives 100,000 times. When the Lord called me, and I knew he was putting a calling on my life to preach, I said, man, the devil brought up my mind. Yeah, but you used to cuss. What are you going to do if you get up there and you start preaching, you start cussing up a storm? Well, let me show you a sign of repentance. There's carefulness. When a man and a woman has truly repented, they'll start being careful with the things, the company they keep. They'll be careful with the places they go. And they'll be careful with the words that they say. If I could give you one time how many times I've heard old boys say, yeah, but I'm going to go help that group that I was with, I'd give it to you a million. And every time they go to help that old group that they're with, they're right back with that old group. Number two, they're not only carefulness, but look what he says. What clearing of yourselves and clearing this, that sin has been dealt with and there's been restoration in your life. That's that cleanliness. Cleaning up on the inside, cleaning up on the outside. But then he says here, what carefulness is wrought in you? Yes. What clearing of yourselves? Yes. And what indignation there is, or anger. That indignation or anger, that's that you, at that point, you start have hatred. What? You start at this point, with this word, you have hatred of sin that used to be in your life. You can't stand the way that you used to be. You can't stand the things that used to be in your life. You know what he does when he saves you? The way that you used to live, it becomes stinking towards you. I mean, it just stinks. And you want nothing to do with the way that you used to live. All right, he says not only carefulness and not only there's a cleaning and there's indignation or that anger that you no longer want to be around sin and you just show enough hate the devil. But then look what he says here. And what fear? There's a fear that comes upon you. That you be reverence and you be watchful. And here's old Detroit term. No longer do you play with sin. No longer do you think you can hide it and I can handle this. I've said this a million times. If you could handle sin, he wouldn't have had to went to the cross. If you could handle, and I tell these folks, if you could handle addiction, he wouldn't have had to went there. If you could handle sin, he wouldn't have had to went there. But now there becomes a fear on your life. You no longer want to be around the way you used to be. You no longer want to play with sin. Number five, let me give you this. Yeah, in what vehement desire? That would be intense or with force. A desire that comes on the inside, and that's to have a hunger for a deeper walk with God. When you have truly got to that place in your life, you hunger for the Word of God. You hunger for the Word of God. Let me give you this. He says, what zeal? And that zeal is that you become passionate, enthusiastic, and hot for what the Lord has for you and the will that He has on your life. Folks, tonight, when you truly get to this place in your life and you see this, and I look around this room tonight and I see individuals that's there. They've truly come to a place in their life where they've been born again. There is no substitute. There is none of that. It's the real deal. And there's things, there's a signs of repentance that's coming forth out of that life. And when that zeal comes, the seventh thing here, and I just want to get this just as clear as it can be. Yeah. And what revenge? Revenge is to get back at Satan for what he's taken from you. That's preaching. What? I got saved at 27. 27 years I lived for the Satan. I hope he gives me 54. You'll die young. Yeah, but I got 27. He took 27 from me. I got 27. I can beat him back. Amen? He took 27. Give me 27 more. I want revenge on that sucker, don't you? Man, I want revenge on him. Man, he's done things in my life. He's done things the way he wanted to do it. And now that I'm born again, I want revenge on old Satan in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to cower down. You don't want to cower down. Man, you got a family member right now that you know that old Satan, he's dealing with them and he's messing with them. And the only way they're going to get over that is that you and I take revenge on what Satan's trying to steal. All over this room, their mamas and daddies, you know what I'm talking about. Yo, babies, the ones you've prayed for all your life. Oh, Satan's trying to sift them right in front of your face. And you know what he's doing? He's laughing in your face. He's laughing in his preacher's face. And I'm telling you, I'm ready for revenge on that sucker. Amen? I'm ready. I know you are too as a church. Man, I want to win back what he's taken from me. That's why I tell kids and I tell people, you be careful what you look at on that phone because it'll never erase out of that mind. He'll save that soul. He'll save that heart. But you listen to this. When you see something, it's stuck in that memory forever. I've heard of people coming up on bad automobile wrecks and people be dismembered. And the number one thing they tell me is this. I wished I would have never seen it. Folks, tonight, sin is the same way. When you look, man, I wished I'd never seen it. When you go down that road that you shouldn't go down, it'll be with you forever. He'll play with that mind. He says that you want revenge on what Satan has taken from you. Tonight, if you truly want to know tonight that you've been to a place in your life where you truly repented, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior tonight. There'll be something burning on the inside like you've never had before. You know what I'm talking about. It ain't got to be a blazing fire. It ain't got to be like something amazing coming out of a torch. Because sometimes them fires get extinguished a little bit. They do. Life happens. But I want you to know that that fire will be burning on the inside of you for eternity. And I want you to know tonight that when we get to that place and we truly have that source of true repentance in our life, that substitute will have to go. It'll have to go because we have the real deal. Tonight he says, he kept saying, yea, 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 yea. If you want to know, this is what's going on in your life. You know what we deal with as a Christian on a daily basis? Satan. He's who we deal with on a daily basis. And the only way we're going to overcome him is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way tonight. And as a church, I want to love you as much as I can. Brandy let me listen to a testimony the other day about a young man. He grew up. I'm going to use some words here that may offend, but I'm going to use them. He said he grew up in a Christian home. He went to college. He never drank. He never drugged. He never had sex. He never done nothing. Got him a full-ride scholarship to play football and run track. Messed his ankle up. Matthew West was interviewing him. Messed his ankle up, and he got on Oxycontin. That young man did. He got on Oxycontin and lost his scholarship to college. Man, just a big old mess went on in his life. And his mom and dad took him to a place, to a rehab, and left him there. And when he went to leave, he said, Mama, you going to leave me at this place? I know you love me more than this, than leave me in this place. Take me home, please. She said, you're right, son. I love you too much to carry you back home. Folks, tonight, you may love somebody so much that you have to say, I can't no longer go down this road. I've got to turn you over to God. I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. I've come to a place in my life, I just got to turn it over to God. Turn it over to God. That young man went on and he's successful now. He's successful now living a life that you wouldn't believe because somebody turned him over to God. I always say this and I believe it. God cannot put you back together, your family back together, if you don't give him all the pieces. If you give him every piece but one, as great as he is and the master of the universe he is, he can't put it all back together if you don't give him every piece. He don't want part of you. He wants all of you. Tonight as a church, I pray we get to a place where we live in daily repentance, asking God Almighty to search me, search my heart, search my going in, search my coming out, and everything I do, that my joy may be full this afternoon. He says that there's a source. He says there's a substitute. But he says there's a sign. And you know what my sign is in my life? I'm not who I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. You're not who, if you're saved, you're not who you used to be. The world tries to still put a tag on you who you used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not that person no more. I don't live that life no more. That life is gone. It's destroyed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to ask you one question. We're just going to go on out. We're going to sing one. We're going out, Sister Denise. Is there signs in your life that Jesus Christ is your Lord? It's simple. He said there'll be signs all in your life. It's like you ride down this road tonight, road signs all over the road. There'll be signs everywhere. All in your life that he's your Lord and he's your Savior. All in your life. I'm going to ask you a question now. Is there signs in your life? Let us pray. Our Father and our